joy is a characteristic of God that sometimes I think we tend to forget about a lot of the times. Throughout life, a lot of things can happen to us, or a lot of things can happen around us that can keep us from finding pure, overwhelming, overflowing joy in even the simplest of things in life. So our goal this morning, our number one goal, like every Sunday morning and every day of our life, is to worship God in a way that He deserves to be worshiped. That should be our number one goal any Sunday morning or any day of our life. But another super important goal for us today is to just have fun. Just have a good time. That's what we're talking about. Joy. To have a good time. To laugh. I'm giving you permission today. We're going to do some funny stuff in just a little bit. I'm giving you permission to laugh and have a good time. And maybe this will lighten up our day just a little bit. Maybe it'll lighten up our whole rest of the week, thinking back to today and what happened today. And another thing is that when we walk out the front doors this morning, I want all of us to be thinking, I had such a good time at church today. I had a great time at church worshiping God and just having a fun time at church today. So like last week when Jason played a game, there was candy apples. One was an apple, one was an onion. And that was pretty funny watching people try to eat that. And we're going to be playing a game also this morning. Before we do, though, I would like to pray for us and so we can get started into it. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for a beautiful Sunday morning where we're able to come together inside a building. Because I know many churches right now are still unable to do that. And I'm so thankful and joyful for that. And I just pray that anybody that's here in person, anybody that's online listening, could just listen with open ears, open minds, and open hearts to receive your word, God, and to take this out into the world and apply it to our lives so other people can know about you. I also pray for me specifically that, God, you just use my mouth to speak the words that you want to be spoken, and I pray that everything that comes out, that everybody hears you and not me, God, and not my thoughts and what I think is right, but it's all you. Thank you for Jesus and Jesus dying on the cross for us, and you give your spirit so that you can live and we can live in harmony with you, God. Thank you for all that you do, and it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So we are going to be playing a game this morning, and it has to do with Myron. Myron, why, bro, why are you here? Myron,
hello.
How did you get, what are you doing here?
Welcome me today.
Yeah. This is Myron.
I decided to step in this morning and preach, so here we go. Good morning,
No. You're not preaching.
I'm happy to see all your faces. You really had to write that down?
I did. Okay. I'm sorry. So right. Time out. This is Myron. I know a lot of you may or may not know Myron. This is Jason's half-stepbrother. And he always comes around. Jason happens to be, I don't know where Jason is right now. He's always gone when Myron comes around. And he comes around at camp and during high school week and maybe some other weeks and just has a lot of fun with it. But we don't invite him.
Right.
That's the thing.
That's not entirely true.
Well, maybe.
Because I feel very welcome when you...
We try. We
think
our hardest.
I did get a letter in the mail. It said... You owe money to.
So how did you get here? You're not even from the beach. How did you get here?
Well, it's a long story. It was I flew on the wings of eagles over the mountains of Mordor, and that's all I passed out after that. I don't.
You dyed your hair.
My hair. Well,
it was blonde.
I've seen your hair online, and I thought, why not grow it out a little bit?
Anyways, so
a little electrocution.
You're not going to be preaching, okay? But we are going to be playing a game.
I could, though.
And you could help me out with that if you would like.
That would be great.
All right, so the game we're going to be playing today is called Chickens in the Barnyard.
Chickens in the Barnyard.
And I broke that. So
you broke one.
That's why we have a box of them behind the stage.
Oh,
anyways,
right.
So what we're going to do is this is going to represent, you know that red thing on the chicken's head? That's what this is going to represent. So if Myron...
10 points if you know what the name of that is.
Yeah. What is it? Rooster
cone. 10 points.
That does not look like a cone to me. Anyways, So if you want to help me put this on my head, I'm just going to demonstrate for you. But we're going to get volunteers. Maybe we'll just handpick you guys if you guys don't volunteer. So it's going to look like this. So you'll put it on, stretch it over your head. The less hair you have, the better.
Wait a second.
Get it. Oh, okay. So you're going to put it on your head like that. It's going to come off of my head.
Wait a second. Is this church?
This is we're having church.
What are you doing
morning.
In? Okay, all right.
So if you guys online can see that, that's my chicken head.
Chicken cone.
I'm going to take it off, but it does pull your eyebrows up pretty bad.
Whoa.
And it.
How embarrassing.
Anyways, so you're going to put that on your head, and then we are going to give you some, these plates have candy corn on them. And if you want to hold one of them real quick, I'm going to put this on the ground. And Myra's going to hold one for one person. The other person's going to have to choose someone to help him. You're going to hold it there for the person that's going to be eating the corn. The person with the chicken cone is going to do this with their arms, bend down, and have to peck the candy corn out of the thing.
All right.
You got 45 seconds. The person who does it the fastest wins. Make sense?
Excellent.
All right. So if you want to go out and maybe pick somebody.
Volunteers.
Do we have any volunteers?
Any volunteers? So, we got one back there. Young lady.
Let's do Colin.
I love this. I love this because I know something.
Oh, here we go. Brother Colin, come up here.
It'll be a good, great competition here.
You did it last week.
All right.
Colin,
come on up.
Colin, you're going to have the privilege of doing it with Myron. You get to pick somebody to help you out. Ariel, okay. So I'll give you this.
Hold this, all right. Okay.
All right, Colin, I'm going to let you, I'm going to help you put this on your head.
I got to get you.
And Ariel, if you could hold this for Peyton. Peyton, I'm going to help you out a little bit. All right, we're gonna crown you with the chicken head cone. Let me stretch this out a little bit for you. All right. Hold that on your forehead. Hold the rim of it right there on your forehead. All right, hold it tight. Don't let go. It's going to stretch.
Beautiful.
All right.
Excellent.
You got it on? It might pop off. She has a lot of hair like I do. All right, so I'm going to, you guys got 45. Look at his eyebrows. All right, get ready. Put your hands on your hips like chicken wings. Come on, Colin, you got to do it. Chicken wings.
Chicken wings.
Dun, all right, dun, 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 you got 45 dun, dun, seconds. 3, 2, 1, go.
Go.
All right, let's do the chicken. She got decapitated.
You're not allergic to candy corn, are you?
All right, let's see how we're doing. Doing pretty good.
All right.
Let's see.
Brother versus sister.
Peyton's a slow. Here, just do that. It came off again. All right, you got about 10 more seconds, okay? 10, 9, 8, 7. Hurry up, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2,
1.
All right, let's see how you do. Present your plates. I believe Colin beat you, but winning doesn't matter.
Winner doesn't matter.
Colin, how do you feel right now? All right.
You want these? That's all you, man.
You don't have to have them if you don't want. Right. So you can keep that on the rest of the service if you want. Anyways, your circulation is probably going to cut out. All right, you can sit back down. Thank you. Hey, let's give it up for our chickens. And, hey, give it up for Myron also because he did an amazing job. Myron.
Thank you for the invitation. Now, if you'll turn to Joy chapter 5.
You're not doing that. Anyways, okay. Hey, but so hold on. You actually helped us a lot this morning with the sermon because we're talking about joy and being joyful. And one of the things that we can be joyful about is the fact that even the most common people can do amazing things through God and they have a job in the kingdom. You did an awesome
Let's
job.
Let's give me a round of applause.
Woo! Hey, give it up for Meyer. All right.
All right. Well, I'm going to head out. I got a taxi waiting for me. So,
get him.
Uber.
So, anyways.
I'll find a way. Get out of here. Maybe a limousine. I don't know.
He's gone?
Find my Hummer.
I'm sorry. He's always gone every time Myron comes around. And anyway, so Myron, actually, I did invite Myron. He didn't just fly on the wings of eagles today. I did invite him to come because even Myron can bring so much joy, and even as silly and as uncommon as Myron really is, he has a role in the kingdom of God. And so Myron helped us understand that today's topic, God uses ordinary people to do immeasurably more than we could ever imagine. And to find joy, find pure joy in the fact is that you do not have to be some special, unique, over-the-top, talented person to work in the kingdom of God. Even Myron can work in the kingdom of God. So as we were talking about this topic, and I was trying to figure out what scripture I was going to use to talk about this today, the first stories that popped up into my head were the stories is when Jesus chose his first disciples. Now, three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell us that Peter, Andrew, James, and John were just ordinary fishermen. That's what they did. That's all they did, fished every day for a living. And living on the Outer Banks, where a lot of people fish for their livelihood, we can definitely get a good understanding of what these men probably were like. If you want to understand better, I highly encourage you, go to Wanchee's Fish Harbor, go sit out there for a couple hours and just observe. Or Dave, who's not here today, hang around Dave for a little bit and Haven and her family. Her family's fisher people. They fish for a living. So fisher people. Hey, they're not just men. yeah. So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 3, we learn that Matthew was a tax collector, a very common job or career during that day. And before his relationship with Jesus, that was just what he did. So these men were no different than you and I were. So the apostles would be the obvious choice of how Jesus uses everyday, ordinary people to do immeasurably more. But as I was thinking about the apostles and trying to figure out like how we're going to connect this to us, I was having a hard time relating to them and feeling close to them because of the things that they did and the things that they accomplished and did with Jesus and even after Jesus ascended back into heaven. I mean, here's one example. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 29. It says this, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, says Peter, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. So Peter walked on water. And I know that this is through the power of Jesus. If Jesus wasn't there, Peter would not have been able to walk on water. But still, the fact, Peter walked on the surface of water. And I don't know about you, the closest I've ever come to walking on water is surfing. But even further than that, the closest I've ever got to that is when I've fallen on a wave, and it's a big wave and it's powerful, and you skip down the face of the wave like a rock on top of the water when you skip it. I've also never met anybody that has ever walked on water. So this doesn't seem very ordinary to me. Here's another one. Acts chapter 5, verse 15. It says, "As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by." So in Acts, we're told that the apostles were going around and performing miracles and signs, and the people there started to get news of this and hearing the things that they were doing. So they would take sick people that they knew, they would take them out to the streets and lay them there so that when Peter was walking by, that even if his shadow would be cast on them, if his shadow fell on the people that were sick, it would heal them. So I also know this is through the power of the Holy Spirit, and Peter could not do this on his own. But still, his shadow was healing people. Acts chapter 19, verse 12, 11 through 12, it says this, "God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them." So in the beginning of this verse, in verse 11, it even says extraordinary, or not common, or not ordinary. People would take things that Paul had used, and they would bring them to sick people so that when they touched them, it would heal them. Even possessed people, if they touched them, the demons would leave them. And I have never blown my nose into a tissue, given it to somebody, and it healed them. I've never, in fact, it probably does the opposite. I have never used a pen or a pencil and given it to somebody who can't walk, and they've gotten up and walked. So these are amazing, amazing, extraordinary things that are happening to here. And it's not just the miracles and the signs that the apostles were performing. Let's just use the Bible for an example. It was these men that were fishing, these tax collectors, it was these men that wrote the New Testament. That's not common. They literally wrote what we study to know God, to know Jesus, to center our lives around. They're the ones that wrote it. And no one will ever be able to relate to that simply because there'll never be a Holy Bible 2.0, okay? But there is a story in Acts about an ordinary Christian named Stephen, who I think gets overlooked a lot of the time and doesn't get talked about many times. In my life, personally, my lifetime, I can never recall ever hearing a message about Stephen specifically. And if I did hear one, I've obviously forgotten it. Maybe it's because he was just so ordinary. But nevertheless, God did amazing and immeasurable things through the obedience of just an ordinary Christian named Stephen. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles, if you have them today with you, and just turn to Acts chapter 6. We're going to be in Acts 6 and 7. But while you're doing that, I want to just give you some context before we start reading about Stephen. Stephen is not an apostle. As far as we can tell, Stephen is just an ordinary guy. You're just average Christian. Yet, Stephen's story marks one of the most significant turning points in the whole entire book of Acts. Up until this moment, as far as we can see, the gospel movement, the spreading of Jesus' name throughout the world, has yet to leave Jerusalem. Even though Jesus told his disciples, you are to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the outermost parts of the earth. Yet after 6 chapters in the book of Acts, the disciples, and not just the ones that were closest to Jesus, none of them were going around spreading the word of Jesus. They were just living together in Jerusalem, eating together. It was kind of like a week at church camp when you're there for a week and you just don't want to leave because it's so good. That's what these people were doing. But Jesus wants the gospel to spread to the ends of the earth, and it can't if they're just going to stay there. Now, I'll give credit where they deserve credit. Good things were happening while they were there. Miracles were being performed. Thousands and thousands of people were believing in Jesus Christ and being saved. But the bottom line is that the message of Christ was not being spread at all. And all this is about to change with the story of an ordinary Christian named Stephen. And I partially believe that the story of Stephen is given to us to show an example of what ordinary men and women believers are supposed to look like. Because that is exactly what Stephen is. And what will happen when ordinary Christians begin to look like Stephen? So, Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, in those days, the numbers of disciples were increasing. The Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group, so they chose Stephen and 6 other more, but we're going to focus on Stephen. So Stephen's job is not this real humongous, important, life-changing job that he's given. He was not elected the leader of the disciples. He was not voted to even be a teacher or a preacher to the people that were there. He's basically just a food delivery guy. Stephen is basically just a waiter. That's all he is. And in verse 8, it says that Stephen was full of God's grace and power. He performed great signs and wonders among the people that were there. And this, because Stephen was doing this, upset the Jewish leaders at that time, and they began to argue and debate with Stephen. If you want to look in verse 10, it says this. So the Jewish leaders are arguing with Stephen. It says, but they could not stand up against the wisdom of the Spirit gave him to spoke. So this untrained, ordinary Christian waiter guy was stumping these high up Jewish leaders that had studied Scripture their whole life, and they could not stand it. So in verse 12 it says, so they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law, and they seized Stephen, which means they got Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They brought Stephen in front of the Sanhedrin, and then Stephen begins to give the longest recorded sermon in the book of Acts. Stephen's sermon is literally 53 verses long. And it goes into this deep history of Israel's past. And he also explains to the people there that the entire Old Testament is pointing towards Jesus Christ. And then verse 54, at the end of it, it gets to a climax, and it says, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious, and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed him. And they dragged him out of the city, and they began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against him. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And then it jumps right over to chapter 8. So go to chapter 8, verse 1, and it says this, And Saul approved of their killing him. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except, this is important, all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And now let's skip a few verses down, go to verse 4, and it says this. This is the moment right here that changes everything. Those who had been scattered preached the word of God wherever they went. There it is. The first time ever in history that the word of God, the name of Jesus, left Jerusalem. And I want you to understand this and let this sink in just for a moment. This part right here. Not a single apostle was involved in the scattering. The ones that were the most closest to Jesus were not scattered. They did not leave. So it means just ordinary Christians were the ones that were leaving. And from this point on, it's ordinary people that are going to be leading the Christian movement. In fact, we can see the effects of this scattering as early as Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 21. It says this, now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as, I'm going to murder this word right here, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So, this scattering, because of Stephen's death, this scattering caused some of the believers to plant a church in Antioch. And Luke does not even tell us the name of these men. It just kind of is like some people went somewhere and they planted a church. It's basically how he describes it to us. But just ordinary people that God used to do immeasurably more than they could ever imagine. Here's a fun fact about the church in Antioch. That is where Paul was from. That was where Paul got sent out to be a missionary. So because of Stephen's martyrdom and the church being planted is where we get Paul going out and being a missionary. God used a faithful Christian named Stephen, who there was nothing special or outstanding about him, to literally change the earth. And because of Stephen's death, that caused the spreading throughout the nation and then throughout the world, we eventually get to where we are right now today. But what does this mean for us? What do we take away from the message of Stephen and how just ordinary he was? Well, here's one super important thing. God wants to use you. God wants to use me and us, all of us, not just a few, all. Ordinary believers have always been God's plan to spread the gospel throughout the world. For many of you, you probably have a skill or a talent, whatever it is that you are really, really good at or really passionate about. You have that skill or talent that God gifted you. Now, what if God's purpose and the skill that he gave you was an evangelistic purpose? What if the reason he gave you that thing that you're just naturally really, really good at was to bring people closer to Jesus? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29 says this: "Do you see someone skilled at their work? They will serve before kings." Maybe you're really good with your hands. Maybe you're really good at building things and making things. Maybe you're good at welding or painting or just woodwork in general. Maybe you're really good at writing. Maybe you're really, really good at art, teaching, athletics. Maybe you're really good with money, medicine. Maybe you're really good at math, science, social work. What if God gave you that skill so that you could have unique, natural interactions with others so that you could show them Christ? What if the reason that you're at the job that you're at is so that you can invite somebody else to know Christ? I am a huge believer that God puts specific people in specific places for very, very specific reasons. Whatever you do, do it well for the glory of God. And do it somewhere strategic for the mission of God. I know what some of you could be thinking right now to yourself is, I've never felt God just tell me, this is my mission. I've never had God just put my mission in my lap and say, there you go, that's what I want you to do. I've never heard God speak to me and say, this is specifically what I want you to do. Or I've never heard God say, you see that person right there? That's who I want you to minister to. Here's the truth. God has a role for you in his kingdom. And if you are just waiting around for this warm, fuzzy moment to call you into the ministry, you got to stop that. Because your call into ministry came when you accepted Christ into your life. That moment when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, he tells you the same thing he told the apostles: go out into the world and tell people about Jesus. And to your neighborhoods, to your jobs, your schools, the places you hang out the most when you're not working, go to those places and show people Christ. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. If you raise your hand, keep your hand up just for a minute, okay? How many of you know somebody that you work with that is a non-Christian? And just keep your hands up. How many of you have friends or family members that are non-Christian? How many of you guys know somebody at the school that you go to that is not a Christian? How many of you just honestly don't know because you've never asked? You want a calling? You put your hands down now. You want a calling? You want a mission? There's your mission. That person that you thought about when you raised your hand, or those people you thought about when you raised your hand maybe multiple times, that is your mission. Now, love them and care about them and have compassion for them and be friends with them. Don't make them just another number to write down and be like, yep, I brought that person to Jesus. Actually care about them. God uses ordinary people to do amazing things. And you don't have to stand on a stage and preach a sermon. You don't have to be on a stage and play an instrument and lead people in worship. You don't have to lead a conference full of thousands of people. You don't have to lead a revolution. God chooses to put extraordinary power into ordinary people. And here's how. By filling with the Holy Spirit. His Spirit. He says, I want to give you what I am so that you can do amazing things, so that we can be in harmony together and we can live together. That's how God accomplishes his goal. He gives us himself and he dwells within us. This is the moment to be joyful about, is that you don't have to do anything special. And it's at this moment, it's not about your abilities anymore. It's all God because of his Spirit. Matthew 11, verse 11 says this. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anybody greater than John the Baptist. Yet, whoever is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Jesus, I think we would all agree, was the best and greatest preacher of all time. He was the top number one guy. But you know who Jesus always refers to as a great preacher? John the Baptist. If the greatest of all time says you are the greatest preacher, you are a great guy. You are a great preacher. And Jesus is saying here, John, there's literally nobody who will ever be greater than John the Baptist on the face of this earth. Nobody. Yet, whoever is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. You want to know what separates us from John the Baptist? It's the Holy Spirit. John did not have or receive the Holy Spirit because he had already died before Jesus ascended back into heaven and when the Holy Spirit came down to earth. What Jesus is saying here, to sum it up, is if you literally have no skill, if you have no talent, if you don't know anything about the Bible, if you can't teach even like a preschool class, you got the worst, maybe you have the worst attitude ever out of anybody. There's nothing you're good at. You are the bottom of the barrel, the last. The least that person in the kingdom of heaven, you are still greater than John the Baptist, simply because you possess the Spirit of God that is permanently forever fused with you forever. And it's at this point, it doesn't matter how good you are, how awesome you are at what you do or what skills you have, it's not about that anymore. It's about your availability to the Holy Spirit. And it's how well you listen to when the Spirit is going to move you. Be available. In this hectic world that we live in, and everybody has every moment of their day planned out, and not just their day, maybe their week or even a month, everything written out, time, everything. Allow God to come in and ruin your plans. Allow God to come in and interrupt what you have written on your calendar. Listen to him. Even when it might seem pointless or silly. There's a guy in the Bible named Philip, and God told Philip, go stand out in this road. And Philip might have been thinking, why? Do you want me to stand in the middle of this road waiting here? But he does it anyways. And while Philip is standing there, an Ethiopian eunuch comes by. Philip and him have an interaction. Philip tells him about Christ. The eunuch gets baptized in that moment, goes back to Ethiopia. The whole place where he came from believes in Jesus Christ. You can look, this is history. And they planted a church. That church is still there today. In 2020, you can go to this church, all because Philip obeyed God and stood in a road to talk to an Ethiopian eunuch. Simply trust him. Simply obey him. Here you go. Here's your label right here. You are a kingdom worker. You have a role in God's kingdom. And that role that you have and that God has for you is so valuable. And God has you here for a purpose. When you took on the label Christian, that is when your mission started. I want you to ask yourself right now, how well are you doing on your mission? Maybe you want to get involved here at Sunrise. Maybe you're like, I want to do something. I want to get involved in a mission here at Sunrise. Please talk to Jason, talk to Brandy, talk to me. I promise you, we can find you a mission to be involved in. And there is not a single mission that is here that doesn't have value. Everything that we do here is so vital and important to the mission here at Sunrise. Maybe you've been coming here for a while, or maybe you're sitting here right now and you're like, God has something on my heart and I want to do it. Like there's something I want to start here and I want to make that my mission and do it. Talk to us. Let's talk about it. Maybe you just want to get in your neighborhood and start to know the people that you live around better so that one day you can invite them to know Christ. Do it. And be so joyful. This is what we're talking about, smiling, being this joy, this overwhelming feeling to know that you don't have to be something extraordinary. Because God can do immeasurably more through you and through us than you or we could ever imagine. And through you, He can change the face of the earth. Let's pray.